Peters. I think most of you know him. And also, just we want to talk about praying at the end, because this is going to be a mighty outpouring tonight. It's a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit tonight. Prepare your hearts and minds and souls to receive. Amen. And also, we at Aglow are very concerned about everybody staying safe. And for that reason, only the board members of Aglow and Mark and his wife are allowed to pray for you. Just so you know, because most of our meetings are full of intercessors. We understand that. We understand that. But just so you know, at the end of the meeting, when we call you forward, our board members will pray with you, and we're going to partner with Mark and his wife to pray. So just as long as everybody's aware of that. So we're going to hand this over to Mark and just receive him with your hearts and your love. In Jesus' name, have your way, Lord.
Well, I'm just rejoicing in the Lord. I don't like microphones. I keep saying I'll get one of those ones that go like this, because I talk with my hands. One thing I want to say is Slava Isusa. Vonime Isusa Krista. Slava Vogo. Da? My Slavic friends. Oleg and Ina. Yeah. I want to share just a little bit about my life, and my life is hid with God in Christ. I was a Roman Catholic in 1974, and I was also a member of the counterculture movement, the hippie movement. And so I had two things going on. I had this Roman Catholicism going on, and I had this hippie movement going on. So I went to Mass and did all that kind of thing, but I also lived the hippie life. So it was kind of like two ways. And I went to Germany in 1974, and I went to the what they call the reception station, and they cut my orders, and I was going to Schwetzingen, Germany, to work for a colonel. So 5 minutes before I go to walk out the door, and this does not happen, the United States military said to me, "Wait a minute, we want to send you to Mannheim." So I'm like, "Okay, sure, I'll go." I did not know that Mannheim was the spiritual hotbed of renewal in all of Europe. And so I arrived in Mannheim, and I worked for the drug and alcohol information education team. And me and my team would counsel high NCOs and officers about the danger of alcoholism and drug addiction. And everybody on my team were abusers at night. But in Germany, you had a barracks or a concern. And in this barracks or concern, I met what we called back in the day Jesus freaks. They told you that Jesus loved you, you must be born again. I'd never heard that you must be born again. Well, I don't know if any of you are former Catholics, but we didn't talk about you must be born again. And two things that happened with these Jesus freaks. They said to me, "Jesus loves you, and you must be born again." I said, "Well, I'm a Christian, I'm Catholic." So, obviously I wasn't, though. And I arrived in Germany, November the 10th, 1974. I want to say this to you also. I'm from Brown County, Ohio. No one ever told me that Jesus loved me, because I was kind of wild. They pointed their fingers like this. Interesting. So the Lord took me many, many miles over to Germany for some young Jesus freaks who were so in love with Jesus. I never heard his name spoken that way before. We heard about Jesus and Christ and Mass and things like that, but I never heard someone talk about Jesus with excitement. And I would listen and say, yeah, okay, I'm a Christian too. I'm going to be a priest. And so, but there was something different about their words. And that was the 10th when I got there. On November 21st, 1974, in Solemn Barracks Chapel, I was going out to run around the town of Mannheim and do my thing. And this is the truth I say to you today. In order to get out of the barracks, you had to go past the chapel, and there was two big red doors. The Lord set it up for us. And so I was walking on this side of the street, and the chapel was on that side of the street. to this day, I say to you, I don't know how I got from one side to the other, because I did not walk. I actually believe that he transported me across that street. And here's these two big red doors, and I'm there, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? And I walk in, and there was two chaplain's assistants back in another room somewhere. No one said a word to me. But I get in, and the Spirit of God says to me, you're here to get saved. Now, I was a good Roman Catholic. When you go to confession, you're supposed to confess all your sins to the priest. So I started confessing for 3 hours, because I didn't know you could just say, Lord, forgive me. And that was at 7:30, and at 10:30 p.m., I said, Lord, if there's anything else I've ever done, forgive me. It was like someone threw a bucket of cold water over me. And my first miracle was I started crying. And then I said to him, I called him Lord, really Lord, by the Spirit. I said, after all these years. And the very next day, I was out on the streets of Mannheim witnessing to drug addicts, alcoholics, prostitutes, and anybody who wanted to hear or didn't want to hear. During that time, I want to say to you, which is really interesting, there was a lot of persecution. I was beat on. I was spit on. I had enlisted members who wanted to have me probated because I went crazy for Jesus. I had high-ranking military people who wanted to actually shoot me. And on one occasion, while I was in Germany, I was hitchhiking. I was a buck private, which means E2, real low. The commanding general of the United States Army of Europe picked me up hitchhiking. That does not happen. It was a divine intervention of the Lord for me to witness to his soul that he must be saved, must be born again. Well, he quickly got rid of me. But he told the chaplain, he said, that boy almost had me on my knees before I got out of the barracks. I wasn't ashamed of the gospel because I knew the gospel of Jesus Christ was real. And I knew it was the only answer for mankind. And I'm saying to you tonight, I still believe it, that Jesus Christ is the only answer. And you know it says in the Bible, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God to all who believe, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. And I'm saying to you that that same gospel for this city is relevant right now. That as we continue to not be ashamed of this gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to see salvation here. There's a big Jewish community in this area, great big Jewish community. And the word promises they're going to be saved. And then the Gentiles are going to be saved. As I'm sharing, where are the two ladies who were playing the piano and singing? Where are you at? I saw a vision of both of you too. I love your singing, I love your worshiping, but I'll start with you. What I heard the Lord say was, he's gonna start having you praise at home, and it's gonna start changing pictures that you have. There are pictures in your mind about yourself from your childhood and years and things in your life, and the Lord wants you to know that if you will praise and worship his name against those pictures, they're going to be taken away, and a new painting about you is going to be revealed about who you really are. He's going to break strongholds over your life. I just seen you at home, and I've never been to your house, of course, but I saw these pictures, and they weren't real pictures. They were pictures up here, and I saw you singing to them, and they were breaking down. And new ones appeared. They were just beautiful sceneries. I saw a real similar thing with you, but I saw it at work and at home as you started singing and proclaiming this same way here. I saw things go away, really strongholds that's plagued you all your life. I seen them go away because the same power and victory that he was doing here tonight, he wants to do in your home. And it's going to break some really big strongholds that you may be free. And the scripture that comes to my mind is that when the Lord turned again, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dreamed. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. And you're going to say, the Lord has done great things for me. And you're going to bring some sheaves and rewards of your prayers. You're going to bring in sheaves from the prayer that you've sown. Just glory. Amen. Brother, I don't know you, but I noticed you when you came in, and I felt an unction come, and I saw a basket. It looked like a wooden woven basket, and I heard the Lord say that he's taken everything from the past that hurt and wounded you, and he's taken it in that basket and removed it as far away as east is to west. It's all going to be gone. And the basket of those memories will never come up again from him. And then I heard him say to you, go. Go. Amen. There was a man that was sitting here. What happened to him? Could you come up here, please? Just to kind of share with you what happens, I try real hard not to try hard to get a word. I do. You can have a seat. That's okay. I'm Brother Mark. Yeah. Here's the word that the Lord said to me. Oh, thank you, Father. First, I felt a real father's heart towards you. Tremendous father's heart to you. It was almost like I was holding a little boy, saying, you're okay. You're my son, and I love you. Just real affirming you. Oh. 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 Then I heard him say, you're not second, you're first. You're no longer second place. Father, I am. Have like a vision of a little boy. Oh, grabbing a father's hand and running with him. Oh. Father, just show him your love, Father. Oh my God. Oh, Father, Father, Father. You're not second. You're no longer second best. Sister Lori, you know, I know your testimony about your daughter and the seizures. And the Lord says, now I'm seizing. Now I'm seizing. And I see you guys, your whole family being seized of the Lord. Even your daughter being seized of her. And that same seizure that did so much. The seizing of the Lord is going to do it like a reverse. It's going to change so many things. And I saw your daughter. How old is she?
She's 25.
25. I saw the Lord seizing a hold of her. I don't know what he has planned, but I saw him seizing you as a family, but I saw him directly seizing a hold of her. Hallelujah. I just want to flow with him. This is my testimony. Flowing with the Lord. As soon as we met, I heard the Lord say, you are a flower in my garden. And then I saw like a little girl pulling the pills. He loves me, he loves me. There was no he loves me not. They were all he loves me, he loves me, he loves me, he loves me. And the Lord would say, you are a flower in my garden, my daughter. Oh, yes, Lord. And I saw this pretty dress, a beautiful, beautiful dress. And you were happy. You were happy. And in the verse that says, he'll wipe away every tear. Hallelujah. Let's just stay with him. The Spirit of God moves. Oh, you. You want to say something for Jesus?
No.
Okay, go sit down there. Thank you, brother. The Spirit of God is moving. This is really important to grab a hold of. He's moving because your hearts are reaching for it. He could have brought in a guy who has curly red hair, 7 foot tall. He chose a short, fat guy, bald headed, because he wants to come into you and meet you. Okay, just bear with me. I'm just going to let him flow, okay? I hear the Lord very strongly saying, I want your home. I want you to know me in your home, where all the problems are, where all the battles are. Just like with the prophetic word, the Lord showed me the sisters singing and praising. Brother, I see you opening the word of God at home and making some proclamations. I see God's word opening like this and you speaking things. And God's going to perform them because his word will not return void. I want to say to us that it is time for us to have a real Jesus for a real everyday life. That's what we're all crying out for. I mean, we love these services, but he's got to become real in our homes, because that's our cry. That's the deepest cry. When we're here, it's like when you go to a sports game. Everybody's cheering loud. It's okay in that. But then you leave that, and then what are you? And many times we are like, it says in James, the man who looks at the mirror, and he turns away, and we forget who we are. I'm saying to you tonight that Father and Jesus want to make themselves real where the struggle is. It's in the home. It's in the job. And that's the testimony the Lord wants to create and bring forth. Bless you. Hallelujah. I hear the Lord saying that I am the God that heals you. I am the God that will finally make sense to it all after all these years. I am the God who will make it right for you. I will make it right for you, says the Lord to you. Yes. Hallelujah. Let's just stay with him. Because again, I'm still trying hard not to try. Because I really want his expression to come to you. Because this is really all about him. And it's about us having that relationship. Sister Daniel, I know a little about you now. But when I heard you speaking, I heard the word prophet, 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 prophet. And God has set you in the body as a prophetess. And we know what the it's one of the five gifts that were set in the body to bring the body into perfection. And I want to encourage you not to fear the despising or the prophetic, but to let it flow like never before. And I saw you, I don't know much, but I saw you travailing. I saw you travailing. It was like you were in birth. You were given birth. And know that the things that he is calling you to travail for, Jan, he's going to make it live. To him. As we were here tonight, what's going to flow of him? I heard the word revival. And I said, okay, Lord, what are you saying here? And the Lord spoke and said, he's going to bring revival to our homes. Everything is the home. It's the family, the mishpoka. That's where it's at. And when revival comes to our homes, then our neighborhood is going to change. Then our church is going to change. And then our state and our nation and the world is going to change. And I know how God works. Some years ago, when I was in Europe, I come back to America. I said, Lord, send missionaries from overseas to America to evangelize America. And there's Oleg and Ina. God obeyed. He sent them. let's stay with him. I know that the prophetic mantle rests on me to God's glory. But I'm not a like that. Sometimes I do, as he leads. But I think there's a gentleness in the Lord. And I think the gentleness of the Lord wants to be revealed. Hi, I'm Mark.
I'm Jamie.
Hi, Jamie. I'm Mark.
Harold.
How you doing? When I was up there, what happens is I just really wait. Sometimes he'll give me like a picture or maybe one word. And I've always said to the Lord, why don't you give me 5 pictures and 20 words before I go back? Because it gives me more confidence instead of just to come back. And that word gentleness was a word I heard when I saw you two. I really feel like that there's going to be a new banner in your house. It's going to be called gentleness. Gentleness, gentleness. You know, that's one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, is gentleness. There's a real restoration happening in your lives. I really sense that the Lord is saying that changes, changes, changes are coming, but they're good changes. And again, I don't know even where you guys are from, but I see revival for you, brother. I see a thirst and a hunger for God's word like you've never had in your life. I see God's word being open before you everywhere you go. You're not going to be able to shut it. And for you, my sister, I see a real healing, a tremendous healing that goes way, way back into your childhood. I mean, just one of the verses that comes to me is Psalms 147:3. He heals the broken in heart and he binds up their wounds. And there'll be no more tears. The beauty of what God does is he tells the truth. If God says he's going to heal you, he don't lie. that's just the truth. Here's another thing we need to grab a hold of. Whatever is in God's word is always. Where we have a problem, every one of us is, we have to grab a hold of it. You're already saved, perfected, made whole. We just have to grab hold of it. Here's another thing. We've got to start gathering together more. Gathering in our homes. The early church, they gathered every single day. And they gave to each other. And the Lord added souls. And they broke the words of the apostles and the prophets. They broke them. And of course, you know about the Bereans. They were more noble than all of these because they searched the scripture to see if these things be true. And that's what I'm doing as I'm walking along trying to hear the Holy Spirit saying, I want to see these things be true, Lord. Hi, I'm Mark. Hey, John. I just really want to bless you for a minute, okay? Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Touch him, Lord. From the top of his head to his soul, touch him, Lord. Oh, Lord, I thank you that you're the healer, that by your stripes we are healed, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I hear the Lord say he's going to make a new way, John. It's, yeah, yeah, I know you are. I know you are. And he's not done. There's still lots for you to do. Yeah, well, that's what I just heard for you not to say. I'm getting old.
Okay.
He's got so much more for you to do. In fact, you may keep doing it all the way into glory. You, you know, the prophet was just lifted up. I'm not saying a chariot of fire is going to come and get you. But I see you working on into glory. Excuse me, to God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hi. Bless you. Hallelujah. The word that this says as I was coming over here, safety. Safety, safety, safety. Hallelujah. Does the Lord speak? I think that as I'm sitting here, that I see like Ruth and Naomi. And in particular, I see Naomi. That in the end, Naomi was blessed, and when she had her son still alive, you know the story with Boaz. But if you remember the last chapter about Naomi, how that her name was changed. She was no more bitter because he had restored everything back to her. And that's the word I see coming for you is restoration. Restoration, restoration. Yeah. And he's already taking care of those things. Let's stay with the Lord, okay? Thank you, Lord. Hi. I'm Mark.
Hi, I'm Lisa.
Hi, Lisa. How you doing?
Okay.
As I was coming, I felt an unction towards you. Mm-hmm. And when I heard the Lord say, I was there all the time. All those times when it felt like you were alone. And without hope, I heard the Lord say, no, I was there. Keep it from being worse than what it was. Hallelujah. 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 Yes, Lord. And I hear him say to you that you're a good girl.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, it is.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yes, he loves me.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So let's go along. As we're seeing this revival in our homes, here's one way it's going to happen. Excuse me for that. We're going to stop quoting scripture, brother. I'm going to tell you why. You know, us preachers, they're always preaching, and it gets us excited. This is one that happened to me a lot when I was in Germany. I came back to America. Brother Mark, put on the full armor of God. And I'd be like, yeah. And he would say, put on the helmet of salvation. I said, yeah. Then he said, put on the put the shield of faith up, the sword of the Spirit, the breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded with truth. I was like, yeah. And man, after that service, I was so high. Guess what happened? Monday morning, I had to go to work. And I said, put on the full armor of God, put on the full armor of God, put on the full armor of God. So I kept quoting it. You know what my problem was, brother? I didn't know what a helmet of salvation was. And you're preaching to me and telling me to put it on. And I'm quoting it. The helmet of salvation, the helmet of salvation. Are you hearing me, brothers and sisters? So we got to gather and talk to each other. Will you please finally tell me what a helmet of salvation is?
Amen.
Can you hear this? That's why we get frustrated because we quote and say, why is it not happening? Because we got to engraft it. We got to mix it with faith and engraft it. So I finally said, what is a helmet of salvation? And I started searching the scripture. I started asking the Spirit of God. Okay, we know what salvation means, right? It means being born again, right? The helmet of salvation, my brother, this is one. It's the mind of Christ. To put on the mind of Christ with my thoughts. Can you hear that? It's easier for me then. It's easier. What is a breastplate of righteousness? Good preaching, brother. I made it till 10 o'clock Monday morning. But now, my coworker here says, actually, she's my supervisor. I don't like the work you're doing. Breastplate of righteousness, breastplate of righteousness. And then my wife, she was my wife, we'll call her Sister So-and-so, who all the times finds a way to say, are you right with God? Breastplate of righteousness, breastplate of righteousness. Why didn't you tell me what the breastplate of righteousness was, preacher? Come on, brothers. I'm being a little humorous here. But for God's sake, this is part of our problem. It is. The preacher says, put that breastplate of righteousness on. He says, breastplate of righteousness, breastplate of righteousness. Macaroni, spaghetti. Come on, brothers and sisters. But now I know what the breastplate of righteousness is, that I have been made right with God, and I am hid with God in Christ. My righteousness is Jesus Christ. He then says, put on the shield of faith. Oh, now, brother, just have faith. I'm trying. But part of the problem is, faith is just another word. But you know what I did with faith? I called him Jesus. Jesus, you're my evidence. I'm convinced of you, Jesus Christ, for all these things I don't know or can't see. It was a word. It was a word that I had a hard time attaining. And they kept saying, have faith, brother, have faith, brother, have faith, brother. I found out what my faith is. It says, this is your faith, that which overcomes the world. And there was only one who overcome the world. His name is Jesus Christ. If you'll change that word from faith to say Jesus, then that shield comes like this. When the evil one lies and says, you're not of God, Jesus says, I saved you, I redeemed you. What is the gospel of truth? What is it? The preacher's been preaching it for 25 years now. And every Sunday I get excited, preacher. Sometimes it's lasted till Tuesday, but not too many times. And so it's really hard. And well, the preacher said, put on the gospel of good news. So I put it on in the loins of truth, and I try to put them on. And I think, what are they? Well, I know what the gospel is. The gospel is that Jesus, that my sins were nailed at the cross, every one of them. And I have been risen in his likeness. Hallelujah. And you know what? Having my feet shed with the gospel. So everywhere you come into me, there's a gospel coming to you. Because I'm going to speak his word to you. Can you hear this? Brothers and sisters, here's another one. The preacher's been preaching for 35 years in Corinthians. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in pulling down strongholds and imaginations and anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. That one really excites me. Because now I'm going to pull down these strongholds. Because I can't do it carnally. Preacher, what is this mighty through God? What is it? Can you hear me, brothers and sisters? We wonder why we're struggling still. We're wondering why we're having doubt and unbelief. We wonder why. God, I want your word to work because I know it's true, but I've got to see it. I've got to feel it, experience it. I'm not afraid to say to him, here's what your word says, but this is what I'm seeing. So what is the weapons of warfare are not carnal, mighty. The preacher preaches it to me. It sounds so good when he says it. Like I say, maybe Tuesday. You know why? I don't know what the mighty weapons are. Can you hear me, brothers and sisters? I struggled with this for years, and I was one of those preachers that said it. So I go to these preacher conferences, and that's even worse. Get about 50 preachers together, and they're all quoting Bible verses. But I started having some fellowship with some, and in the inner closet, they would say, I don't know what to believe anymore. And that's part of our problem. We don't know what we believe and why we believe it. But I'm saying to you tonight, the word of revival in your homes. And I'm going to share something else, too, that the Lord's been speaking to me for some time about. We've got to get the gifts of the Holy Spirit out of the church and into the home. It's everything is the home. My wife always has words of knowledge for me. Trust me. I'm telling you, she does. And she even has discerning of spirits sometimes, too. Hallelujah. And you know what? Faith for the wounds of a friend. Amen. We've got to let the Holy Spirit be in our homes. Because when we allow him to manifest in our homes and we start having a word of knowledge about a problem in our home, we start getting victory. Then we start finding out, Lord, your husband has gifts of miracles. Hallelujah. This is the truth. Show me where the gifts of the Spirit were supposed to only be in church. It said when you come together, the Spirit of God will minister and move the gifts, right? Does it say in 1 Corinthians 12, does it say in the church? No, when you come together. Then it also says, husbands and wives and children, friends, when you come together, one has a psalm, one has a hymn. Making melody. We got to start making melodies in our homes. Because that's what's going to tear down the strongholds and those pictures that the evil one has put in our minds from our childhood about us. A real Jesus for a real life. Transform lives. My big prayer tonight was, I did not want a good meeting tonight. I didn't. Brother, I didn't want a good word. What I wanted was you change and me change. We've been to too many good meetings. We've heard too many good words. But now we're going to experience that gospel that transformed lives, that took fishermen and turned this world upside down with some old fishermen. And I was talking to a young brother who went to Bible college, all that kind of stuff, which I'm not against it. I said, God is not qualifying anyone anymore. He did it on a Roman cross 2,000 years ago. And I got another one for you guys, too. Now, brother, I'm picking on you. I love you. I know who's responsible for your sin. I figured it out finally. And it's not you. It's Jesus. I spoke this at a Pentecostal pastor's conference, and they were getting ready to stone me. Because, you know, old-time Pentecostal, you know, you gotta watch your sin, brothers. And I said, you're not responsible for that sin. Jesus is. Now, why do I say that? I said it earlier. Our sins were nailed with him. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised. He was chastised for our peace. And by his stripes, we are healed. I think the Lord wants to really, I don't want to say reintroduce himself to us, but I think he wants us to know who he really is. You remember Job said, I'm watching time, that I've heard of thee by the hearing of my ears. And that's our problem, brothers and sisters. We've heard by the hearing of our ears. But remember that song we sing, open the eyes of my heart. He's opening the eyes of our hearts to see. And it says that in Ephesians, that the eyes of your heart would be enlightened. I love that, to know the height and the width, the breadth and the depth of who Jesus is. We need to start speaking him to each other. I remember a day before there was Facebook and cell phones, but it still happens now. Brothers and sisters would call me on the phone and say, Brother Mark, guess what Bible verse the Lord showed to me today? You guys remember that? Guess what Bible verse the Lord showed to me today? Can I come over so we can talk about the Bible? I remember those days. I also remember this, my brothers and sisters. I remember a day that we just spoke his name, we got teary-eyed. Our hearts were so soft to him, and we believed that he could do whatever he said he could do. We need to be restored to that understanding, that belief, that our hearts are tender again. When I first got saved in Mannheim, every sin from my life was delivered. All the healing was taking place. All the generational curses were broke. And I had this wonderful first love with Jesus. Guess what happened? Brother and sister, self-righteous, got a hold of me and said, now, brother, it's okay. You had that first love. It'll wear off after a while. You'll be like us. They were right. That first love was never supposed to stop. It was supposed to always be there. But I want to tell you something about first love. You're still putting the responsibility on you. And what Jesus is trying to say is, hey, I'm your first love. Come on, experience me again. Can you hear that? We put so much responsibility on ourselves. And we can't do it. Our good old brothers and Pharisees couldn't do it. That's why Jesus came. God knew that didn't work. And we are still trying to convince, hear me, my brothers and sisters, we are still trying to convince the Lord that we love him. We need to stop it. We need to convince ourselves he loves us. We got to stop trying to convince him that we love him. You know why? I'll tell you why. It's real simple. Here's the Bible verse again. Here's why the Bible works. 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. There's the key. It's totally there, the key. When we accept Father's love, then we know how to love him back. Because there's no fear and torment in his love. This great grace. Now, I know there's some thing called, it's called hyper grace, I call it hyper grace, something like that. Or sloppy agape or greasy grace. And then you get the legalist over here. I'm not none of them. There's only one kind of grace, and that's the Jesus grace. And everything in there, justice is in there, obedience is in there, and the fullness of all grace is in there. I'm going to say something else to you, too. You cannot make yourself right with God. Uh-oh. You guys ready for the stoning? I hear this a lot. You better get right with God. I can't get right with God. Jan, I can't do it. It's impossible. You know why? Who made us right with God? What's his name? Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Can you see the difference? Why we had to have the helmet, the brother preaches about the helmet of salvation? That's why. The helmet of salvation, okay? The breastplate of righteousness he preaches about, the truth, that's why. And that's when the word of God will start working for us. That's when the word of God will start manifesting in power, healing, salvation, and we'll be seeing disciples made of all men. And it starts in the home. 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 Hi. I heard the Lord say, you're not forgotten. There's a song that says, I am not forgotten. Oh, hallelujah. I am not forgotten. God knows my name. And he has spoken your names since you were little kids, even before you knew him. There was times growing up, your name was spoken. Where did that come from? Even then, he was trying to say to you, I know your name. And I just want to obey, okay? And I heard the Lord say, I'll be a father to the fatherless. Yes, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this, brother and sister. I saw you guys laying hands on each other. And just start prophesying and speaking the word of the Lord to each other. And I saw you just speaking words of healing to her. Just wonderful words of healing. Just pouring out. And I saw tears flowing down your cheeks, brother. I just saw you speak love and healing and grace and forgiveness. And you could not control it. It just flowed like a river. But those flowing tears are my river, says the Lord, to bring healing and restoration, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. You know what? God's always on time, okay? And again, I wish that he would be a little more detailed, but sometimes I don't get the detail. I saw an hourglass. I saw a lot of hourglasses in your life. You know, an hourglass is that thing that kind of goes in the sand, kind of goes like this. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes. And I saw you turn the hourglass up and down, up and down. Up. Oh, my God. Father. Oh, God. You don't have to wait patiently no more because he's bringing it. Yeah, the hourglass is gone now because you're the apple of his eye. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. What's your first name again, brother? What's your first name again? Jim? Do you go on mission trips? Do you go on mission trips? Never? Okay. When my son Matthew was 1 week old, because I've been on the mission field, I said, he's never going overseas. And I heard the Lord say to me, what is that to you if I sent him overseas? And I don't even know what profession you're in, anything like that. But I really, oh yes, Lord. I see you starting to take the Father Heart Ministry to many, many young men. I see a lot of tears coming from you. In fact, a floodgate. And in that floodgate, there's going to be a lot of your own healing. I see you embracing young men and holding them. And they feel the pulse of your heart. It's the Father's heart healing them. Young men who are broken, have never had affirmation, because he's doing it to you. Yeah? Hallelujah. This is, okay, how much time? Thank you, Lord. I really want to obey God. And I want you to know, I'm not trying to get everybody into place either, because he's already got you. I'm just listening to what he's already got you with and what he's doing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's do this. Let's from now on stop reading our Bibles and let the Bible read us. Amen? Because I've been there. I was saved in Germany, you know, under the Bob Mumford, Derek Prince ministry. It was called the Shepherding Ministry. We read scripture, memorized scripture. I have been blessed of a tremendous, to his glory, my family will tell you, a tremendous gift of memorization of the Word of God. It's definitely the Lord, because my wife would tell you, I can't remember nothing. But what I had to do was, I had to stop reading my Bible. And at first, I was like, oh my God, I'm going to hell. Because every preacher tells you to read the Bible. But finally, one day, a preacher said to me, let the Bible read you. And I'm going to tell you how the Bible reads you. Romans 8:1. The Germans say, nichts schuld. How they say it in Oleg. How they say Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Say it in Russian for us. Hold on. I want you to hear it in Russian. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Нет никакого осуждения тем, которые во Христе Иисусе.
Hallelujah. See, even in Russian, he's saying there's no condemnation. Hallelujah. Because you're in Christ. Now, what happens is, my preacher again says, but now remember, to those who are in Christ, who don't walk according to the flesh. That one got me. I was so happy when the first preacher said, there's no condemnation. But the other preacher says, yes, if you don't walk in the flesh and walk in the spirit. And so I'm condemned again. Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? That is the truth. If I walk in a flesh understanding, am I trying to perform the Word of God, I'm going to be condemned. But if I walk in the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I will not have no condemnation. It's a good litmus test for you. If you feel any condemnation, you're not walking in the Spirit. Not into condemnation, say, hey, wake up, wait a minute. You're the Spirit of life, and it dwells in you. See, that's the helmet of salvation now again coming and saying, because where's the battle at? Up here. But the helmet of salvation says, you are in the Spirit. Since that same Spirit dwells in you that dwelt in Christ, he shall quicken your mortal body. And I got another one for you too. I'm not going to heaven. Uh-oh, I'm already there. What's it say? Colossians 3:1. Since you are seated, now some verses go, what do you call it, translation say if, but it's not. The Greek is, since you are seated, set your mind in your helmet of salvation thinking there, because you're already there. Now, we know someday in the sweet by-by, we're going to be in the presence of the Lord in the throne, but right now, we have been seated in Christ. And you know what, says the Lord? I don't have to do anything to be there because he seated me. Can you hear this, brothers and sisters? There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus because Jesus took my guilt. Jesus took my shame and my peace. He was chastised for my peace. Now, what's the word say about peace? The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Now, that was a good quote, but guess what? The righteousness, joy, and peace are there because of Jesus. I don't have to earn anything. And I thought about this the other day, about trust, because the Lord's really been speaking about trust for some time now. I fast from despair, because I know the Spirit of Truth says to me that despair is not trust. And I'm going to tell you who first taught me about trust in the Lord. Peter Van Vorden. Has anybody ever heard of Peter Van Vorden? How about Corrie Ten Boom? The Hiding Place? I met Peter Van Vorden in Germany with the concentration camp tattoos. All that family went through. Papa was killed. Willem died. Betsy. And Kit. The only one to survive was Nola, the sister, Corrie, and Peter, who I met in Germany. And after going through all that, he taught us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And I found something there. In trust, there's no fear and there's no despair. And the time is up right now, but I want to leave you with this. Let Jesus show himself to you in your homes. You're going to see the victory happen at home. You're going to see the lives of your spouses and your children, your family members changed at home. You're going to see the colors of your walls change because your color has changed. To God be the glory. Him. After him.
After him. I want to ask you if you'll pray for us to receive spiritual gifts.
Okay, yeah, sure. Hallelujah. What I want to do is I want to pray with you. Some time now, I've stopped laying hands on people a lot. Not because that verse, don't lay hands suddenly, because I want you to know when you come to me and say, will you pray with me, Brother Mark, for this? I'm going to say, Lori, no. You know why? I'll pray with you. So you know that your Father in heaven is doing it for you. And I have a word for you. I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm accepted in the beloved, Lori. That's his word to you. That he's accepted you in his belovedness of you. He accepts you in his belovedness. That's a scripture, you know. We're accepted and beloved. And I just, oh yes, Lord. And you know, there's a little song we used to sing in the Charism, his banner over me is love. And I see this, his banner over you. There's lots of love, lots of acceptance, no more working, lots of love and acceptance. His banner over me is love. Amen? So let's pray. Us pray. But we're here together, and we're believing for release of your giftings in our lives, in our homes, our jobs, our schools, our churches. And for this house, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. I see a fig tree's leaves starting to bloom here. I don't know much about your church here, but I see a fig tree leaves starting to bloom. There's something God's wanting to bloom here. And yea, the Lord would say unto thee, my word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, says the Lord. I say, go and proclaim, go and speak, lift up my name, because my word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, saith the Lord. Brother, it's like never before, it's going to come upon you. You're going to say, something's happened to me. Yes, that something's happened, because he has restored and redeemed you and taken all the other things away. Hallelujah. Lord, release your gifts. As we're coming together in our homes, in our church, let the spirit of prophecy, let the spirit of discernment, hallelujah, let tongues come forth, interpretation of tongues come forth. Lord God, let the gifts of healing come forth, words of knowledge and words of wisdom and prophecy in our homes, Lord God, in our church, in our workplaces, everywhere we are. Let your Holy Spirit minister those gifts to us. As you are willing within us. And everywhere we are, he's willing and willing that his gifts come forth, that we be a restored body. Hallelujah.
Slava Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you so much. We just praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We receive, we receive, we receive. We receive the fullness of your glory. We receive the fullness of your giftings. It's one spirit, Lord, one body, one Christ, one God, one spirit, edification of the entire body. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for the word that you've spoken to our hearts tonight. We pray that you would seal it on our hearts, that no enemy would steal it. We love the word that we are to release Christ in our homes, that it starts there, it's gonna change there, it's gonna change the world, one home at a time. We agree with that, Lord. We say, have your way in our homes, our marriages, our workplaces. Hallelujah. We ask for your power, your impartation, your anointing, Lord, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Gosh. It's 9 o'clock, so we want to officially dismiss the meeting for whoever needs to go due to the time. But for those who can stay, we invite you to come up. Mark, if you would come back up and board. We invite you all to come up and get personal ministry, personal time of prayer, any special need or concern or burden or breakthrough that you need. We are here to agree with you. The power of God has been so heavy all night long. I don't know if the power of the spirit of prophecy is all over this place. And the Lord tonight wanted to say the word that had kept coming was, without the vision, the people perish. So tonight was about getting a revelation, getting an insight, getting a target, the Lord shining light on what he has for you so that you don't perish, but you prosper in the land that he's bringing you into. That's what he wants for us. And so we pray, come, come and get revelation. And we'll agree with you, and we're two or three are together, and ask that of the Lord, there he will give it to us. And we believe him and take him at his word. In Jesus' name, amen. So again, you're free to go. And if you need to go, we say the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you, and grant you peace, peace in your homes and your families. But if you stay, come, and we would love to minister with you. And then there's also homemade, organic, yum, catered food by Sue, who is an amazing, just amazing talents. And she brought food. So feast on the natural food and come up here to feast on the spiritual food in Jesus' name.
Because I want this judge, though, this love filled from these young people. I see you just embrace them. I see your own fear being put away because of the love God gives you for them to be their shepherd.
Amen. Lord, we thank you. We release the spirits, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So come, 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 come forth, y'all. Have your way, Lord. And also there's, if you want some scripture on the presence of the Lord, and you see, these are just a few, there's so many. Feel free to take one of these as well.